This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasin. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasin.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey, and I am still, believe it or not, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And as usual, I am here on this beautiful weekend to be the managing partner of your life.
Now, why wouldn't we believe you're still at Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn?
You never know. It's a tough world out there in law. And everyone who knows what it's like dealing with clients, half the time, you know, they're going to threaten me. They have people pulling guns on me and everything. It's just, it's a tough, tough world.
It's awful, especially when you own the...
You love guns. I'm sorry. I promise. That's Kerry Kasin, by the way, and I promised her before the show we wouldn't start talking about guns
you
just
know
yet.
You know I do, though.
You do.
I
You've
do.
You've got one by your bedside.
I do.
But I don't want to talk about that. Speaking of guns, which this has nothing to do with guns, but Bill O'Reilly was fired this week.
Yeah, I know.
And, yeah, you know, I think
I can't, but it was shocking to me, just so you know, I was shocked.
Why?
Bill O'Reilly being fired.
What, you condone harassment?
If it's true, then he should be.
All these women come out. Come on, don't you believe every woman who complains about harassment? Don't you believe that, Kerry Kasin?
I definitely want to see all the facts. I want to see everything before I go,
all of a sudden you're a lawyer and there's no rush to judgment here. What about Lisa
Bloom?
Hey,
Lisa
Bloom got Bill O'Reilly fired. And for those folks who don't know, you know that Lisa Bloom's on our show quite often.
I plead the fifth, and I'm not a fan.
Sometimes she actually sits in for Kerry Kasin, and she went to the media with her public
releases. Media.
And
you know,
she,
I mean, and a lot, look, her mom does it. I love her mom. Her mom's fantastic.
Do you remember what her mom said on the show when I accused her mom, Gloria Allred, of being a media whore?
I couldn't believe you said that to Gloria Allred.
I
wanted to die in my seat. I wanted to just die. I wanted to slowly go to the floor and crawl out of the room. But you know what? She handled it.
She had an amazing answer.
Yes.
Her answer was, I don't care what they call me because I am going to speak for those who don't have a voice. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's a good answer.
But when you speak for those who are not good people, I have a hard time with that. I do.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. And on your attorney's advice, I won't push it any further. But we do know.
I'm not talking about one particular attorney. I have a hard time. Now, remember what I do for it's not really a living because I don't get paid for it. But I deal with attorneys that bully, with attorneys that will do anything to shut you up so you don't talk about the truth. And I see this all the time, state to state, with people doing it to, you know, to split families apart. So this isn't one particular attorney I'm talking about. I see it a lot. And
right.
These people will defend people that let me call them wrongdoers.
That's the world I live in.
I know.
As a litigator, I'm in court all the time, and boy, do I dislike attorneys. They're dishonest, they're fools, they're creeps, they're losers.
Except my attorneys, who I love and adore.
Well, you know, Lisa Bloom put the pressure on Fox. And
we have to keep saying the name?
I'm just saying.
I mean, we can just say the just lawyer saying. That is representing the other side.
Well, she's representing at least three of the accusers. The interesting thing about this case is there has been no judgments from court. There have been no filings. In fact, Lisa said this week, I think it was on CNN, that she hasn't gotten paid and is not looking to get paid. And the accuser, Wendy Walsh, is not looking to get paid. They just want to remove this scum from the air.
Hey, look, if Wendy...
He may not be a scum, by the way.
Right, I don't know. If this really happened, then yes, he deserves to be removed. Absolutely.
Why did Fox do it?
Get rid of him?
Yeah. I don't know. He says that they're unfounded claims.
And if they are, it's unfair.
And that's his spin. Unfounded claims.
I'm going to wait to hear everything. That's me.
Good job. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
What about Aaron Hernandez? Unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess for some people, he took his life this week.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I'm getting out of this is his brain is going to be given to science, even though there's some people saying, oh, you know, you're illegally stealing the brain and that's not right and it shouldn't happen. I think it should happen. And I think anybody with CTE should be studied.
How many years, Carrie, did he play for the New England Patriots?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know.
No, how but old I love was the New England. You know why I love
2 years.
Do you know why?
I had him on my fantasy team before anyone ever heard of Aaron Hernandez. And here's what I have a problem with. Just because he's this creep, apparently, and we'll say allegedly, and by the way, he's not convicted of anything anymore, and his family may get millions from his pension plan and his contract because in Massachusetts, as you've probably heard, the law says that once he has not been through the appeals process, that the conviction is not valid,
right?
And his contract was terminated because of the conviction, or at least because of the accusation. So now there may be a legal argument.
And they may go after the money that is
they
owed.
Could that his daughter and the fiance could get the money. So think about that.
Okay, I thought about it.
Okay, so my point is on the CTE is he didn't really play that long. He played down University of Florida, I believe. And
so you don't think his brain should be donated? I think it's great because whether you've played a year or whether you played, you know, 15 years, I think you should start to see the effects
did he
of it.
Play?
Look, I am not a
tight
football
end.
Fan. I'm sure he had one.
But you know about
Listen.
Tight ends.
I couldn't even tell you where they were. I could tell you where the quarterback is, and I can tell you where the guy that's leaning over, hiking the ball to the quarterback is, right in the middle. But the only reason I watch football is Tom Brady. That's it.
He didn't
that's
go to
only,
see the
listen,
president.
Listen to me.
Do you know
it's
he didn't go to see
the president?
It's the
only reason why. That's it. That was what got me into
okay.
football.
Whoa.
And it's the only team I cheer for. So, yes, I am. It's,
do you have sympathy for Aaron Hernandez?
No.
You don't. You don't think that perhaps there were mental problems or perhaps he had a horrible upbringing, notwithstanding the fact he signed a $39 million contract and lived in a mansion?
No, if he killed people, then I don't have any
people.
Sympathy.
Well, we only know of one right now because he was acquitted of the other
right.
two.
Well, whatever. If he killed one person, two people, three people, I don't have sympathy.
We agree that it's a tragedy?
All around?
All around.
Or his suicide?
The whole thing.
Yes, I will agree to that.
We need to turn to our show today, Carrie, because we've got more important things to talk about, and we're really honored and privileged after the break to bring on our show live in studio none other than Mike Gatto. Mike Gatto, of course, is California State Assembly member from 2010 through 2016. He termed out the 43rd Assembly District. And according to the Sacramento Bee, he was, quote, most independent assembly member, and that's based on his voting record. So basically, I think we can talk turkey with Mike, and we can find out the real deal without just partisan politics. Mike is also a former attorney at O'Melveny & Myers and Mayor Brown. He interned with Brad Sherman, Congressman Brad Sherman, who you loved, who
really,
was on our show.
I really like him. And he just won, I think it's 6 times in a row, the Humane Society gave him awards. He's a big animal activist, and I love that guy.
Yeah, well, we'll have him back on the show. Maybe we'll find out what he's really like from Mike Gatto. But we have a lot to talk to Mike about, and you're going to hear about it right here on Talk Radio 790 KVC. I'm Alan Gervie. You listen to Gervie's Law. We will be right back.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
It's Peter Tilden, and I want to tell you about Flooring Pros. Their selection and prices are definitely going to floor you. They've got beautiful natural hardwoods and laminates and vinyls and tile, and they can beat the price of the big national advertiser who you see advertise every day by as much as 50%, and they get it done right because they have enormous selection and everything is in stock. So that means you can get a free estimate one day and installation the very next day. Check out FlooringPro.com. They're on Google. They're on that beautiful website, House. And check out their Yelp reviews. They're fantastic. So for the largest selection and the finest hardwoods, environmentally friendly flooring, laminates, exceptionally trained experts, and the best price guaranteed, call the number one flooring company in Los Angeles, FlooringPro.com, at 800-815-1565. That's 800-815-1565. Call them for a free estimate or go to FlooringPro.com.
Flooring Pro, their prices will floor you.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we are back. I'm Alan Gervey, and I'm here with Kerry Kasem, and we want to welcome to Gervey's Law former California State Assembly member, Mike Gatto, if you heard before the break, is one of the most independent assembly members, according to the Sacramento Bee. And he's also, according to LA Daily News, during the election back in 2010, they said he was fiscally minded and intelligent. Kerry, finally an intelligent
politician. Well, that's why he got our bill passed.
And, of course, he's a lawyer, UCLA grad, undergrad, Loyola Law School. He was also worked for Brad Sherman, who I mentioned before the break was on our show just about a month and a half ago. And he is now doing a lot of great work. We're going to talk to Mike all afternoon, at least for the next 45 minutes. Mike, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Alan, it's great to be on Gervey's Law on 790 KABC.
Yes.
See, you can be a radio host.
Just like I paid him to do it, because I get paid every time I say 790 KABC, and I'm going to split it with Mike Gatto.
Thanks, Alan.
It's News Talk Evolved, yeah. Folks.
A News Talk Evolved. Mike, I got to ask you, in the 6 years that you were a member.
7 years.
2010 to 2016, that's 7 years, because we got to count one of those. In the 7 years, what do you feel most proud about in your time serving the California legislature?
Oh, gosh. So, there's a lot of really, really cool things that I had the ability to work on. Of course, one of them was with Kerry Kasem, which I think was a very important law that provided the adult children of senior citizens the ability or enhanced abilities to actually visit their ailing and aging parents. But there's a whole bunch of things I really felt privileged to work on. One of the things I'm most proud of is the Rainy Day Fund. For years, California, was subject to these crazy cycles where, ups and downs, and they're very pronounced in California because of our tax code. And when times were good, the California legislature would spend like drunken sailors out on shore leave. And when times were bad, we would have to scramble and we'd have to cut things from higher education and things like that. Rainy Day Fund is a simple concept that every household lives by. And that's when times are good, you put a little bit away. And so you have it when times are not so good. And I think that will hopefully make life a lot better for people in the state for years to come.
Well, those are really important measures. And then I read on your Facebook page that you were proud of AB 1658, and that may not be as important
not
as
important,
the Rainy Day Fund.
But very tangible in that, it's weird when you do something legislatively. I feel like I worked on all these obscure laws that, they're kind of wonky and they're big reforms. And And, you know, nobody knows about those. But this is something that I see every day. And obviously, it's the black license plate.
Oh, God, you took away my joke here.
Oh, no. What's
it? I say that was the most important thing to me because it matches my car.
Yes.
And it's very, very important that, you know, you have matching license plates and matching cars.
Black dress, black car, black license plate.
That's right.
AB1658. People are wondering, what the heck was that? Because we have so many important in-laws. I mean, there was SB 863 while you were an assembly member, which was the reform bill for workers' compensation, which we can talk about. There are a lot of very important issues. But right now, you were behind the black license plates in California.
And would you believe that the DMV actually fought me on it? We had a meeting. Oh, yes,
Why?
They did. And they said on open mic, nobody's going to want these. You're crazy to try to bring them back. What a hassle. You know, this thing's going to fail. And it's the fastest selling license plate in world history. So,
and how much money has the state made because of it?
Well, you're not going to believe this, but the state makes no money off of them. So I had suggested, well, maybe this would be a way to pave some roads without raising taxes. But I was told, no, 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 you can't do that. No one's going to want these. So the state sells them at cost.
Wow.
It's really just the cost of the metal to have the convict print press them at Folsom Prison. And
so,
that's where they are made.
Wait a second here. So
that's
you
ridiculous.
Debated this in the legislature. This was an issue that was written up and everyone was talking about it. But there's really no benefit to the state financially?
No benefit to the state, which, you know, I mean, you could argue that that's a benefit to the people because obviously there's no surcharge. You just pay the cost for pressing a license plate. But, you know, that being said, I mean, they're so popular. Maybe if you throw on $2 or $3 there, you could fill some potholes. So I don't know. I mean, look, I've got mixed feelings about it. I'm just happy it's a fast-selling license plate.
And you're behind it. Let's talk about something that does bring money into the state, AB 1839, 1839. Carrie, what's 1839?
You know,
you're in the entertainment business. You know all about this stuff.
1839.
It was a good year.
I can't recall.
Mike, why don't you tell us exactly why California can benefit from AB 1839, and you were the author of it?
I was indeed. So Assembly Bill 1839 was the production tax credits. These were the part of a big push, of course, to bring production jobs back to California. You know, my district included Burbank and Silver Lake and Los Feliz and Hollywood and Glendale and places where a lot of people work in the entertainment industry. And I got really, you know, inspired when I would go on the campaign trail and talk with folks. And, you know, I'd talk to fathers and mothers who in many cases were shooting in Canada or Georgia for months on a time.
Right.
And they said, you know, Mike, I just want to be part of my community. I just want to go to my kid's Little League game. I want to see my wife for longer than a weekend at a time. And, you know, you start thinking, well, what's the value of a middle class job? I mean, what's the value of a community? And all these other jurisdictions were giving tax subsidies to the entertainment industry to locate jobs there. And because of that, the jobs were leaving California. And so this was the Keep Hollywood as Hollywood bill. And we hope it did a lot of good. We're told the mayor today in the State of the City said that it brought $2 billion of economic activity back to the city of Los Angeles alone in the last couple of years, which is great.
So it begs the question, what would be the opposition to something like that? Why did all of these jobs go to Canada, Toronto, Vancouver? Why did California not provide the credits before? And is there preferential treatment for the industry, the entertainment industry?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm the first to acknowledge, and you know, there's a lot of people when this bill was passing who were just pure jingoist, rah, 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 this is great. Let's make it a gazillion fofillion dollars. One of my colleagues got up on the floor and said there should be no limit to the amount of money we give away. You know, and I think obviously that's just crazy. I mean, that's insane. I was a bit of a late convert to this type of tax subsidy. There's a lot of things that we spend money on in the state. You can't subsidize every industry. I hope this is the last time that any state anywhere has to do this. It just at some point it becomes a chase of the same jobs, a race to the bottom. But the thing is, you know, this place already has the infrastructure. We've got the post-production facilities. We've got the brains. I think California's got a lot of inherent advantages. And hopefully by putting forth a big subsidy, we'll bring those jobs back and no other state will be able to compete.
And that makes a lot of sense. I think when you do a balancing act, you're not giving everything away, but there still may be an appearance that certain industries are getting preferential treatment. And the problem that I see with being a legislator is the lobbying and the interest groups. I experienced it firsthand during 2012 during the debates for SB 863, which is a workers' compensation bill, which was an all-encompassing reform that has totally decimated my clients, has created so much pain and anguish, people losing their lives because Governor Brown decided to step in at the last minute, the Thursday before the Friday vote, and go to all you folks and tell them that they had to pass this bill. And the question becomes, who is Governor Brown in bed with that he would side so much with employers, insurance agencies, and large corporations? And I'll tell you something, because I know you have an interest in the power grid. With Warren Buffett, when we talk about expanding the power grid with Brown and Buffett, what is going on up in Sacramento where the governor and certain other people are being so influenced by money interests?
Well, you know, it's a really good question. I mean, I butted heads with the governor last year on this precise issue of utility reform, and I butted heads with him on other issues in the past. And, you know, I think he's got this really rare opportunity in politics that is just nobody else ever faces. He's not running for anything else, although he jokes about running for president again. He is really popular in the state, so he doesn't need to make a decision just for popularity's sake. He's flush with campaign cash already. He's really got a rare opportunity for a politician, which is he doesn't need anybody.
Right.
And he doesn't need to run for reelection, and he doesn't need anything. So he really has an opportunity to just do what's right. Just do what is right for the state, do what's right for his legacy, do what's right for the history books. And I felt like he hasn't always done that.
Right.
And that to me is just – I just don't understand it. Don't get me wrong. I don't absolve any politician if they make a bad decision. But sometimes you see the guy, you know, won by 200 votes and, okay, he made a bad decision because he's pandering to the electorate. Okay, and you understand it. But with a lot of the decisions that the governor makes, I just don't understand them.
Well, that makes sense, because I don't understand them either. And I will tell you that he seems to be a lone wolf a lot of times. We look at the Democrats who dominate the Senate and the Assembly, and you wonder, why are they siding with him? And in fact, your record was rather independent and bipartisan. The Sacramento Bee talked about it. You had the best attendance record in the legislature. In fact, you're the Cal Ripken of legislators, because you went through the whole 2013-2014 session voting 5,897 times, not missing one vote. Why aren't all our legislators committed like that?
Well, first of all, you're very kind, but I view that as just a very basic threshold of the job. I mean, if you get elected and you're there being paid by taxpayer dollars, taxpayers pay you to vote. They don't pay you to take a walk on a tough issue. They don't pay you to be on vacation when the legislature's in session. They pay you to vote. And so, yeah.
When I was working with Mike, and when I would watch you vote on other issues, what I loved about you was you didn't just vote your party because that's what your party was doing. That was the popular thing. You'd go against it. You must have had some backlash, a lot of backlash that you had to deal with. And how did you deal with that?
Well, I'm not in public office anymore, so you can see how I deal with it.
But let's just say you were termed out.
That's true.
But seriously, I mean, I'm sorry, but there were some. You were right. I'm an independent. I don't vote a certain party most of the time. I'm, you know, conservative, but not all the time. Yeah. So, and I would vote for you. I'd vote for Brad Sherman. I think he's a great guy. But I love the fact that you wouldn't just go with what the Democrats were doing.
Well, thank you. You know, one of the reasons that I, you know, I read the newspapers too, and there was this article that came out in the Sacramento Bee during early in my term, and I had this aha moment. It mentioned two lawmakers, I don't even remember their names, they're long out of office, who had gone through an entire legislative session, something about like 5,890 votes in 2 years, and they had not voted no on a single bill. And I thought, were there really 5,898 great ideas that the state had to have? Were there really 5,800 new laws and regulations that the state had to have? And you're just not paying attention if you're not voting no on some of this stuff.
It's crazy, because we talk about the Supreme Court justices, and I'm jumping around here, but I think you can follow. Neil Gorsuch started sitting on the Supreme Court a couple weeks ago, and people said that he asked more questions in his first day than Clarence Thomas did in 15 years. And you wonder, and when you give this example of legislators just checking the box, yes, 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 you're actually thinking about these things. And it segues nicely to what I want to ask you about the process. And we may have to take a short break, but let me just get this in. when I was lobbying for the bill on behalf of injured workers in 2012, we actually went to your office. There was a number of us from the California African Attorneys Association, and it was a very complicated bill. No one understood it. We spoke to someone in your office. We couldn't speak to you. You were too much of a big shot. So we spoke to like this 21-year-old college kid outside. He had a notepad. He looked really professional. He took all the notes. Do you ever see those notes? I mean, like, what happens for the legislators when you have these lobbyists coming to your offices? And we are permitted to do that, of course.
Yeah. So first of all, if a little interesting stat, if a lawmaker opened up their office in Sacramento or D.C. and put a sign out that said, hey, we're open at 8 a.m. and they kept it open till midnight, they would have a different lobbyist there every 15 minutes for the day. And there'd still be a line waiting when you leave. So, yeah, there are a lot of people that come to see folks. But, yeah, we do see those notes. At least I did. I would always get briefed on every bill that I voted on.
But would you have had a clue what all these complicated provisions where the writers of the bill didn't even know? It was Kevin DeLeon. He had no clue. He admitted later. It was just so complicated. How can you vote on that stuff other than having Jerry Brown coming, putting a little bug in your ear saying, you better vote the way I want you to vote or I'm going to vote against. I'm going to veto your bills.
And that's what happens. Hold on. Can I say this? Please. I'm not going to give any names. We had a bill up. It was AB 1034. It was a great bill. It wasn't chopped up in I think it was 1085. The way it passed was a lot. It was not as broad as 1034. And, we were there and everybody, it was a go. Everybody liked it. Everybody, it was wonderful. I mean,
and we worked on it for like a year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was a great bill. And he didn't, I remember this, and I'm not going to say who, but you didn't get somebody's bill passed. You voted against somebody's bill that was ahead of a committee and she vetoed our bill. And
she stopped the bill in its tracks.
Yep.
A bill about visiting elderly relatives.
Right.
And she actually liked the bill.
And
she liked
the
bill.
Just to be mean.
Wow.
I mean, I thought it was rather gross.
She came up to me afterward, to her credit, and said, I will pass this bill for you next year. I promise I will work on it myself. And she did. She actually got it passed next year. She worked on it. She did.
But meanwhile, tens of thousands of people passed away without getting to see.
Exactly.
That's right. But this is the
sausage making
of politics.
And that's why politics has such a bad name. And I want to give a quick story after the break because we do have to take a break. I'd love to keep going, but we have to take a break. I want to talk about a bill that's currently being debated and how the revisions, it has to do with the San Bernardino terrorist victims. I'll talk about that after the break. Also want to talk about gun violence. And unfortunately, I'm going to tell the audience about a horrible, tragic story where Mike Gatto's father was actually murdered at his home. We're going to talk about that because it's really important. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The only thing better than a Samsung Galaxy S8 is two of them. And right now with Sprint, you can lease two for the price of one. That's two Galaxy S8s with an infinity screen and 12-megapixel camera. And get unlimited data, talk, and text with Sprint's unlimited plan, which works great for you. But to make it work even better on radio, I'm going to read it with Helium.
The only thing better than a Samsung Galaxy S8 is two of them, and right now with Sprint, you can lease two for the price of one. That's two Galaxy S8s with an infinity screen and 12-megapixel camera, and get unlimited data, talk, and text with Sprint's unlimited plan, which works great for you. Sprint works for me.
Call 1-800-SPRINT-1 or visit Sprint.com/now.
Unlimited excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Streams video up to HD 1080p. Music up to 1.5 megabits per second. Gaming up to 8 megabits per second. Subject to credit. $30 activation fee. Prohibited network use rules and data deprioritization. Phone $0 per month after $31.25 a month service credit. Requires two new lines of service for well-qualified customers with 18-month leases. Early termination results in remaining balance due. Credit applied within two invoices. Coverage and offer not everywhere. Restrictions apply.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical explosions, exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, we're back. I'm Alan Gervey. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we are talking to the future governor of the state of California, Mike Gatto. He was an assembly member for 7 years, and we're going to talk to him a little bit later about his future endeavors. He termed out, and before the break, I mentioned about the process of getting a bill passed, and Carrie, of course, worked with Mike on her visitation bill, and they did a really great job, and congratulations to both of you.
Thanks
for that.
Alan.
And that was, I think, the beginning of how many bills that are getting passed throughout the country?
Well, we just had our 10th bill. We helped with one in Washington. It wasn't exactly a Kasem Cares bill. It was tons of advocates that came together with Representative Jenkins, Lori Jenkins, and she took all of our input and got a bill passed. It's limited. There were 83 bills that were tabled last year in Washington dealing with elder abuse.
Wow.
They killed them all. So, and this one kept
literally
getting chopped up because they don't want to do anything about the problem up there in Washington. It's a they have a major problem up there.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, and that segues nicely with what I want to talk about right now, because there is a bill presently in California called AB 44, and it's authored by Assemblywoman Eloise Reyes, who's a rookie. I don't know if you know Eloise or not, Mike.
I don't.
Yeah, because she came in after you. She probably replaced you. No, I'm kidding.
Huh.
She was real concerned about the workers' compensation benefits for victims of terrorism. And it has been in the news that a lot of my clients at the San Bernardino terrorist shootings from 2015 have not gotten the treatment that they need, have been really treated very poorly. And she proposed this bill to try to get them medical treatment so that they can get back on their feet and, you know, become who – at least try to become who they are. One of my clients was shot 7 times by the terrorist, and, you know, he's in rough shape. Another one 3 times, and she's in rough shape. But they're doing great, and the process has been crazy. It's like they started this trying to get out a utilization review to divert it so that these people could get their treatment without going through utilization review. And it's been watered down and watered down. And now the bill basically says nothing. It actually says nothing. It just says, oh, we'll try and help these people. And the Democrats who have commented on this, Mike Gibson, do you know who Mike Gibson is from Gardena?
I do indeed, yeah.
Okay, so he said he's perplexed beyond end. He said, I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned when it comes down to the amendments. They can't figure out how these bills can go through or they can be effective versus the pressure they're getting from the insurance companies, from the county of San Bernardino, from the state, in order to make sure that there is no money spent on these victims. Why is that the case, Mike?
Well, that's a real shame. I mean, you know, it's important to note that we're talking about victims of a terrorist attack. We're not talking about, you know, some huge, huge number of people. These were people who were shot in that tragedy in San Bernardino. And hey, kudos to you, Alan, for doing something about this. A lot of people would have just sat there and complained and litigated for years and years and years, but you're trying to change the law. You know, if I had to give any advice to Eloise or any new legislator, is that sometimes, you know, when people are proposing amendments, you've just got to tell them no. You know, I dare you to vote. No, I'm not going to take those amendments. I dare you to veto this bill. I dare you to vote against it.
Right.
I'm going to keep the spirit of this bill alive.
So why don't they do that? Because I really respect that. And I wonder why the legislators, they each have a vote. Why do they have to be holden to the money interests?
You know, they shouldn't be. I mean, again, we're talking about victims of terrorist attacks here. And it really is disgusting when you hear these stories. And this bill should have flown through the process, in my opinion. And, you know, who knows? Maybe there's still time. It also takes the media's help. You know, people don't always watch what goes on in Sacramento. And you know what they always say, cockroaches can thrive in a dark environment. You got to shine some light right. on it. And
no, it's very true. And the media does help. I've noticed that from state to state. The more media and the more press right. and the more people that will come and testify that are
exactly.
in that state, the bill tends to go through faster. It doesn't take 2 years or 3 years. It goes by in that first year.
And that makes us come full circle because that's what Lisa Bloom did with O'Reilly.
You know what's going to happen after the show. Let me say something. Really, you have with your clients the potential to get a media storm going. Because what happened to those people? Those are stories people want to hear. They want right. to hear what is happening now. How are they doing now? And they're not doing so well.
Yeah.
So to actually take their... I'm telling you, you just need to call the news stations,
you know,
get them on.
We just had a deposition of one of my clients, and it was really sad how he answered. He said, 13 of my good friends were killed. The people I worked directly with were killed. These are my assistants. I had two assistants. They were both killed. My superior was killed. And to hear this, you know, you can think about it. It's just it's horrible. And you know, I don't want to think about it because I get too emotional. I want to talk about emotion right now. And when we talk about Mike Gatto's Twitter account, this week you wrote a quote on your you tweeted, "Without passion, you do nothing." And I thought that was brilliant until I looked it up to find out. I was just reading – I love looking at your tweets, as does Ben Shapiro, and we'll talk about that. But I looked it up, and there was a quote attributed to Donald Trump. Without passion,
You've
you don't have energy. Without energy, you have nothing.
Okay, look at any of the gurus that are about taking action, about building millions, doing all – they all talk about passion. They all talk about –
Yeah, that was – those are my own words. I mean, there's only – four or five of them. So I'm sure someone else has said something like that
yeah.
in the past, but that was
Donald
not –
Trump said without passion –
He took it straight from Trump's account.
You don't have energy.
Okay.
Without energy, you have nothing. You just contracted it.
That is some good opposition research, Mr. Gervey.
There you go.
That is amazing.
As long as you didn't do that, there was no subliminal message.
No subliminal messaging there. And now I'm wondering, maybe I should delete that tweet.
Oh, come on.
I'm just kidding. And by the way, my Twitter account is
Mike
Gatto.
It's at Mike Gatto. And he's an amazing tweeter, Twitter fan. If you're a Twitter fan, you got to go to at Mike Gatto. And it's spelled G-A-T-T-O, not G-O-T-T-O. TTO, although Ben Shapiro, when he introduced you, said you're Mike Gatto.
Yep.
And I don't know if that was a shot. He was trying to make you a cat or something. But tell us why you were debating Ben Shapiro on his show. And you were talking, and it was very interesting. By the way, you can go to YouTube or go to MikeGatto.com. Is it MikeGatto.com?
That's right.
Where you can see the debate with Ben Shapiro. And tell us a little bit about the genesis of that, because it's not so great that, you know, the debate, okay, that was kind of fun, but what you guys talked about was important.
Sure. So the genesis of all this was Ben tweeted something about wealth disparity being a myth or something like that, about how it was overblown. And I tweeted back some pretty heated comments on it, because I actually do think that a society without a middle class it usually leads to disaster, whether it's happened in South America or various societies over time, it usually leads to disaster. So we got into it pretty hard on Twitter. And then, you know, he said, well, you want to come on my show and debate me? And I said, yes. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect because, I mean, that guy is a fierce debater. I mean,
yes,
I saw what he had done to Pierce, Morgan on CNN.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
But, you know, we had a very civil debate and we actually ended up agreeing on a lot of things. And I have to say his following, too, is the most engaged following of any show. I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll get a whole bunch of tweets from this show, too.
Yes, will. I have the same followers as Ben Shapiro.
But I'll tell you, I've been on a lot of shows. I was on the blonde gal who just got fired. Help me out.
Megyn Kelly?
No.
She didn't get fired. She got a raise.
She got fired by Glenn Beck from The Blaze. Tommy Lauren. I was on the Tommy Lauren show, and I thought, okay, this is a social media person. She's got 500 million gazillion followers. But I'll tell you, Ben Shapiro's followers are the most engaged and some of the nicest people, some of the most educated people. Really fascinating.
Right. You know, it's interesting because he made the argument that these large corporations that are making billions, the Googles and the Microsoft of the world, shouldn't be criticized just because they're making money. And if there's a very small percentage of people who have more money than 99.9% of the world, so what?
Yeah. So, and I've pointed out back that, yeah, you don't criticize a company for making money or a person for making money, but you can criticize the government policies that perhaps rig the game. You know, if somebody goes and bribes the legislature and they get some massive giveaway or some massive contract, well, of course, you can criticize that. And if you have a society where, you know, people don't feel like they can be upwardly mobile, that affects things like crime rates. It affects so much. And so those are just some of the things that we talked about, and I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, and I agree, because I don't think Ben Shapiro understands what you do when and what I do when we see the money interests and how they shape policy and legislation. And you can say all you want. Yeah, of course. I agree with Ben Shapiro as far as if you make money, fine. But there are so many favors. There's so much dirty business going on that allows for it. And that's when we talk about the grid expansion, for instance, coming back to that. And you might want to mention a word about that, where Governor Brown and Warren Buffett seem to be in bed. But there are downsides to expanding our ability to promote energy and, you know, utilize our resources.
Sure. So I'll tell a little bit about those proposals. So imagine a town in Utah that is 50% coal. It gets half of its energy from coal and 50% solar. The proposal on the table would basically – now everybody knows electrons are fungible. You can't say, well, gee, that's a coal electron and that's a solar electron. But the proposal, as I understand it, would say, okay, California is going to buy your solar electrons. And now, of course, Utah, which is a red state, will just say, all right, fire up that coal, baby. We'll buy your coal. So it's really not doing anything for cleaning our air. And guess what? The key thing about it is – and you got to build a transmission line to get the energy from Utah to California. And guess who pays for it? The California ratepayer. So that's where I have a problem.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. We have to take a quick break. Before we do, though, I just want to introduce what we're going to talk about, and it's much sober, more sober subject. Your father was murdered, Joe Gatto. He was a teacher, an artist. He had such an impact on your life. Before we go to the break, can you tell us what your father meant to you?
Oh, gosh. That's a really hard topic for me. I mean, you know, he worked really, 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 really hard to raise us right. When I was a kid, you know, he had three jobs. I would see him get up every day at 5 a.m. and, you know, pick himself up very tired, go to work. He would teach all day. Then he would come home, change clothes, and he would sell peanuts at Dodger Stadium all night. Wow. And he did that because, you know, he didn't come from much. His father was a coal miner. And he wanted us to he was the first in his family to go to college, and he wanted us to be something more. And so he just worked his tail off. He worked weekends too. His third job is on the weekends. And, you know, I just think of the sacrifices he made, not just for me, but for all the kids he taught. And, you know, there's nobody deserves to be murdered, but he certainly didn't deserve it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And also, I think he probably got you interested in politics.
He did indeed. You know, you could argue that it was an act of child abuse to turn on the 1984 presidential DNC Democratic convention, but it got me hooked. And a little 9-year-old was watching it with open eyes and got involved in politics.
Now, it's an unsolved murder. We want to talk about that after the break. We want to talk about gun violence and what this country has come down to when we're talking about just innocent people being gunned down. And we're sitting with Mike Gatto, and it's painful. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Restore your vehicle's lost power by cleaning your entire fuel system with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Right now, buy one bottle, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Keep your engine clean and improve performance with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Buy one, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
When the veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are they really?
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
Cricket has something epic for you. An adventure like no other. Starring free select 4G LTE smartphones when you switch. and featuring plans starting at only $30 a month. Now at a store near you. Cricket Wireless, something to smile about.
Applies to Samsung Galaxy M2, Alcatel Streak, ZT, Sonata 3. Requires number port and service activation minimum $30 per month. First month service charge and in-store activation fee up to $25 due at sale. Taxes and restrictions apply. One-time fees may apply. See store for details.
Wake up! Wake up! With Doug McIntyre in the morning.
Steve Zimmer, the president of the LAUSD Board of Education, pushed for these chicken rules over the chickens that are sold in the cafeterias have to be
cage-free and humanely raised.
And they have to have music in their lives and arts.
Ivy League education.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of madness that chews up man hours and lawyers and preoccupies them. And meanwhile, they don't have books.
McIntyre in the morning. Now with Leanne Tweeden News. 5 to 10 on KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. It's 790 Talk Radio, KBC. And we're talking to Mike Gatto, former assembly member. Are you going to run for treasurer, state treasurer?
Well, I certainly have an exploratory committee open for treasurer. But, you know, politics right now is a little bit turbulent, and I don't think anybody knows what the future will hold. I mean, if you told me that 4 weeks from now Donald Trump would be impeached, I'd say doesn't shock me. If you told me 4 years from now he'd be reelected, it wouldn't shock me either. The country is so strange right now, I can't get a read on it. So I'm just right now biding my time and focused on being the best citizen that I can be.
And of course, you have a son on the way.
Yes, I do.
Congratulations on that. That is very nice. And it's a wonderful segue again for the generations, the passing of the torch. And your father passed the torch to you, and he was murdered in 2013?
2013.
And tell us what you know about the murder, because it's unsolved, and that must really prevent any closure right now.
Yeah, so sometimes for me it's hard for me to know what I am authorized to disclose publicly and what I can't. But the basic – the LAPD has developed a profile of my father's killer. They have a sketch but not a suspect's name, if that makes sense. They have a profile, and the LAPD's dominant theory, and there are other theories, but is literally that this was a case of just horrific luck, just horrifically bad luck, wrong place, wrong time, somebody in the neighborhood doing mischief. You know, there's a lot of days where I don't know if I believe that. You know, of course, at my worst, I always feared that this was something political. I've had other thoughts as well. But I mean, the bottom line is my father was murdered in his house, you know, a place where you feel most vulnerable. He was murdered in his bedroom. And we've done rewards. We've put things in the media. We've publicized a sketch. We've held press conference after press conference. Nothing has happened. There's been nothing. I mean, just, you know, you almost want like the call from the psychic who says, gee, I've got a sense that it was so-and-so, or you almost want the false leads where somebody is in the jailhouse. And say, but this case has been so quiet, and it really is hard. Closure is a word that's used too often, but really would like to know what happened here.
Was anything stolen? Did they go through the house and steal stuff? Was this a theft?
You know, so my father had a very big, very, very a house with an extensive collection of stuff. And as far as we know, the person made off with a few bucks that were in his wallet.
Really? And he had Russian art?
He did. He had Russian art, American art. You know, he was a jeweler in his later years. He had jewelry. I don't know. I don't think the police know either if his jewelry was taken. We don't believe much of it was. But I'll tell you, out of a house where there was a whole lot of stuff to take, the thief certainly didn't make off with too much.
You know, I was just in Alabama a couple weeks ago for Crime Victims Week in Alabama. It was the state. And I was the keynote speaker at a vigil in Jasper, Alabama. And it was so sad how many people in the audience had pictures of people that were their family members who were murdered. And a lot of them had no idea who had done it.
Yeah, it's something like 40% of all murders go unsolved. Yeah. It might even be higher in Los Angeles.
And you've been involved in organizations with victims that are experiencing or have experienced what you have.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried to be involved with any group, you know, both to draw attention to, you know, our laws, which tend to go very extreme. You know, for 10 years, the country will be lock them all up. And then 10 years later, the country will be let them all go. And I was just pointing out the policy's got to be somewhere in the middle. Both extremes are probably wrong. Right now, we're in a trend of let them all go. I think that's ill-conceived. But I've been involved with these organizations trying to forge good policy.
Now, a question. I know we brought this up and you were joking at the beginning of the show about like our Second Amendment, about our rights to carry guns and to protect ourselves. And whenever I look at states that allow open carry, that allow you to have a gun, that allow you to protect themselves, you don't see as many home invasions. You don't see as many violent crimes. Why is it always, let's get rid of the guns, let's get rid of the guns? Because the only thing you're going to do is take guns from good people. The criminals will still have the guns. To me, it's just common sense.
Well, you
it's
know
not
I
Republican,
you know
it's
I
not
disagree
liberal,
with you.
It's, but it's a fact. It's a fact. And the fact is,
you know,
if
you can
I could
say it's a fact. Erwin Chemerinsky, Professor Chemerinsky,
he's wrong.
Told you that.
And he's wrong. If you know, if we had Larry Elder in here.
You don't
want
to hear what he told.
No, I know what he told me. And he's wrong. Because if you look at statistics, if you look at it and you look at people like when I lived in Las Vegas for a while, how many people were reported shot? Not the people that were getting their house broken into, but the people who were crawling through the doggy door, the people that were holding them up, or the people that came into a garage with guns. Guy pulled out his gun. Boom. Saved his life. Saved his wife's life. So why is it that we can't? I'm 5'4". I'm tiny. There's no way. A bigger woman could
you know,
take me on.
Mike, the argument that she uses all the time, and it's fine. I respect her opinion. We had Alan Gurr on the show, and he was the attorney, the lead attorney, who argued in front of the Supreme Court the Heller case, which was the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment. So you know where he stood on that. I don't think that way. I'm not sure why. I'm Canadian. I didn't grow up with guns. But when we talk about someone having the ability to defend themselves, your dad, I mean, we don't know what happened, and God willing, you will find out. But do you think he could have defended himself with a gun? Because that's the story that people say. But when these things happen, you don't have the opportunity.
It's not about that. It's about these criminals going, wow, these people are probably armed. So the likelihood of somebody going into your house is less. It doesn't mean if his dad had a gun that it would have happened. It doesn't mean if I have a gun.
Let me ask Mike.
Well, so it's a complicated issue, and I know we're running short on time, but I'm not trying to give a politician's answer. I believe it's very nuanced. There's statistics on both sides. But generally speaking, I mean you know, and this is going to come as a shock to a lot of people because I'm a Democrat and because you know, my family has been victimized by gun violence. But I tend to be more on Kerry's side of this argument. I know this comes down as a shock.
Sorry,
but,
I can't
but,
help
I mean,
myself. I
just think that
very happy.
You know, the importance of having a society that has that freedom is valuable, you know, even if it sounds paranoid, but to keep the government honest. And that's a tradition we have in this country. But I mean, look, there's a lot of stats out there, too. I mean, you know, in certain locales, the owner of a gun is more likely to have it turned on them. There's lots of stats on both sides.
Yeah. It is a tough one. I'll give it to both.
I'm sorry.
You.
I just had to. You're looking at me as I'm like have the biggest smile on my face. It's not a right or wrong. I think it's somebody's personal decision. If you don't want to carry a gun and you don't want to be armed in your house, then that should be your right.
I will make no comment as we have to close out the show. You know, again, we're sorry that this happened and really hope that you'll find out something. And
thank you.
Follow Mike Gatto. He's got a lot of intelligent, smart stuff to say. It's Mike at Mike Gatto.
Yep. And some dumb stuff, too.
Yeah, and the dumb stuff's the stuff that gets him in trouble.
That's right.
That's
right.
What gets him on the Ben Shapiro show.
I don't know about that.
So it's at Mike Gatto, or you could go to MikeGatto.com. Good luck in the future with the baby, of course. That's most important. And then
important.
Next year we'll have you on the show while you're running for whatever you're running for.
Thank you very much, Alan.
And you'll let us know. Maybe, you know, just like Kerry likes to make announcements on Gurry's Law, you can make your announcements on Gurry's Law. Thanks,
my
Mike.
My announcements gets me cease and desist.
You get cease and desist. Mike, thanks for being on the show. And thank you all for listening. We will see you next week right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.